You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Update on a story out of Las Vegas, and the end result of the story ticks me off. We'll get to that in a minute. From CBS News, authorities have finally solved the murder of a Las Vegas man who was strangled to death with a telephone cord inside of his home more than 20 years ago. And you can guess how they did it.
They traced his bad debt.
They traced his bad DNA. The case dates back to December 29th, 2005, when an apartment manager reported something was amiss at a property in Las Vegas. Police get there. They determined the victim had died from strangulation with a phone cord, and his car was missing, along with his keys to his home. They found the car abandoned, and then everything went cold, right? They recovered a DNA profile that they all thought this entire time was linked to the person responsible. However, they never got a match because the person responsible was not in the system as a violent offender at that time. So fast forward to 2024, investigators resubmit the DNA profile for lab analysis, and they used the genealogy route. They were able to trace that sample to a relative of the suspect in this man's murder, who detectives also believe was seen in surveillance footage shortly after the killing, having used this man's car to drive to a store and his bank card to make a purchase there. So, long story short, it was always the guy that they thought it was. It took all of this time until we have the genealogical testing.
They just didn't have any concrete evidence
to actually say, yes, this is the guy who did it. The potential murder suspect, who was not publicly named, and this is where I get ticked off, died in 2020.
Mm.
Though an arrest is not possible, the lab still characterizes the person's identification as a significant breakthrough in the case. Number one, why the hell would you not release the identity of the homicidal maniac that strangled someone in Vegas with a telephone cord? And number two, because we didn't have this specific technology until the last, what, 5 years that police departments started using this, I always ask you this. How many other people did that person kill in all of the 20 or 30 years he was out roaming around amongst us that they weren't able to bring him to justice? That's what makes me mad about this. I just think we have the technology now with the DNA databases. I don't understand why we're not using it all the time, not just for justice for the victims and the families, to protect the rest of us from all of the weirdos that are still out there free because it's an unknown killer.
Well, and I think the biggest problem is the fact that legal defense
knows money.
Well, and legal defense knows straight up that they can pick that argument apart pretty quickly.
No, I think it's funding. They don't have the funding to test all of the samples. That's absolutely what it is. We talked to a police department about this a few months ago, and I'm trying to remember the cost, but Sam, it was astronomical. They raised some money through the family. They used some federal grant money. They cobbled together some money from one of the city's budget. I want to say it was Overland Park. And they were finally able to make it happen. But they said the days of, like, when you watch 48 hours and you think they're just going to shove it into some genealogical database, these are private companies, and it is very, very costly to test.
The lab testing can top $1,500 per sample. But what I was talking about was that most of the cases here, typically it's like a 15% match, a 30% match, a 60% match.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that if they're not confident, if they don't have good other hard evidence, which it seems like they had other hard evidence pointing to this guy.
Yeah, you have to have. You can't just have the DNA.
Then it doesn't matter if we have some slight comparison to some ancestry database where, you know, his fourth cousin did ancestry but, 6 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, but any good detective will tell you what you do is you look at that tree and immediately you know the killer was male. It's male DNA. So you wipe out all the women in the tree. It's not a woman.
Yeah.
Then you wipe out all of the dead people in the tree. Yeah. It's not the dead people. And you just keep going. Then you go, all right, which one of these bozos happened to live in Las Vegas at the time this guy was killed? All right, now we've narrowed it down, what, to two, three, maybe one? So the other detective work has to come along with it. I just think the cost is, it's so cost prohibitive. They've got to figure out a way to make that.
It's not going to go down.
More cost effective to solve more cases to protect the rest of us. 913-586-7798. When we get back, what type of bad behavior when you are not at work do we all agree as a society is bad enough that you should lose your job? And I'm going to ask you that because we see this all the time. Now that there's cameras everywhere, everybody's got a cell phone, surveillance. When someone behaves badly, how bad do you have to behave where your boss says, oh my gosh, saw that video, that was you acting like a fool, you're fired? I don't know if I'm so sure this woman who was just fired this week by J.P. Morgan Chase should have been fired.
And have you ever wanted to be mad at somebody, but you just couldn't be because they were just having too good of a time? I'll tell you about it.
I can't wait for that story. Yeah. Back after this.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.